All right, guys, Monday edition, Monday slash Tuesday, I guess. I don't know. It gets released on Monday now, maybe on Tuesday.
No Tuesday edition. It's just
a lot
Monday.
Of moving parts.
No.
We got a big guest today, too.
No, we don't.
I don't know how this works either. Somehow this nonsense with the vodcast, you know, you can't see us. I'm wearing a tuxedo and sweatpants. Here's the deal. Adam Lefko is joining us.
Hello.
You've seen the man's picture. Good looking dude.
So handsome.
Well, all right, calm down. I'm in a tuxedo from the waist up. As I told Adam in the waiting room, best looking man, fine. Best dressed? Not today, sir.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Adam, thank you for joining us. How are you today, buddy?
And as I told you, I was very close to going and getting a tuxedo of myself. I will get one custom made and come back just because I feel challenged right now. But I appreciate the honesty about the sweatpants. Thank you.
I mean, are we committing right to this moment?
They're great.
We're doing an all tuxedo show 2 months from now. You heard it here first, folks.
Waist up. I'm excited. So Adam, of course, from the TNT desk. Every time I see Adam, he's standing next to Shaq and Dwayne Wade. So that's how you know he's an important man. Adam, I got to ask
that's
you
also
first off.
What confuses people is, yeah, go for it.
So I know you're a big deal.
I was
going
to say, people come up to me and think that I'm like 5'5" because Shaquille O'Neal makes everybody look tiny. So that's what's ruined
5'10".
My life for a long
time. I've seen 5'10". Is that accurate?
Here. No, I'm 6'2".
Okay. Oh, how does that make you feel right now, Mike? Do you feel like just so small?
Ugh, I'm disgusted by both of you people now. This is already taking a turn. I hate tall people. It's not your fault, Adam. Jesse's 6'5", and I don't like him either. So, let me talk cards with you real quick. What is your deal with cards, Adam? I know you're huge in the sports world, NFL draft, NBA coverage, all that stuff. Sports cards, in, out? What's your...
Big time in.
Okay.
When 2 days before coronavirus shut everything down, I'm at dinner with Gary Vaynerchuk, like our first time really hanging out with our significant others. And he spent 85% of that meal showing me eBay sold listings and explaining to me how sports cards could be the stock market of sports. And I popped a LeBron Topps Chrome PSA 10 that night. I couldn't believe I did it. For $6,900. And I was like, what did I just do?
Two days
later, coronavirus happened. And I went, I'm the biggest idiot of all time. All I have is this cardboard. I got like a Trey rookie silver, a Luca base. And then about 4 weeks later, he texted me. He goes, have you seen the price? And it was at $9,600. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Hit up a few of my friends that were like, I kind of thought had an inclination of markets and all that stuff. And I just went ham. And I think everyone picked up a hobby during quarantine. Sports cards was mine. And I fell in love with the community. I fell in love with the way it mirrored actual sports going on. And yeah, I'm in. It's what I spend most of my free time doing, to be honest.
Wow. I didn't know you were such a big collector. That's cool.
Yeah. And that LeBron's doing what, like 30 right now?
It went all the way up to 45, and now I think it's back down to like 25, 30. So we had that Jordan LeBron boom of January, February, which was fun to look at my portfolio at that time.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this, and you're collecting, like you personally, mostly basketball, football, mixture?
I found myself early going heavy basketball, thankfully, but I find myself when I'm making an impulse buy, I am going football. And when I talk to people that... like, and I talk about the hobby with, they always know that I can't not buy football cards. And I feel like because Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, it's lifted the entire football market to the fact that like we are seeing hobby boxes go equal for NFL and NBA. And I was talking to my guy, Chris, from Card Letter. He's never seen that before. And I think a lot of it's because the GOATs always carry everything else. And because Tom Brady, wildly enough, was undervalued for somehow for all these forever. Years. He's finally now getting his place and people are realizing this is never going to happen again.
Yeah.
It's bringing up the, it's not just projecting Mahomes, you know, it seems like last year before I really got in, it was like if Luka was carrying NBA and now it's like, no, Tom Brady is carrying NFL and it's bringing him up.
Well, absolutely. I'm glad you said Tom Brady's the GOAT. I'll be honest. This is going to be the shortest interview of your life. Had you said anything different. Born and raised in Boston, I'll tell you right now, I have a few standards in life.
That accent? Get out of here.
Is he doubting? No. So you're right. That's the first time we saw like football on the map like basketball. I mean, he's one of the, and Mahomes rookie stuff now is just stupid. So, but let's toss it to you. Here, we're going to give it dealer's choice, Adam. We want to talk a little NFL draft, a little NBA hot takes. Which one would you prefer? You're the least dressed best person here, so we'll give you the option.
I'm literally in the mix of preparing for both. So I have Steph Curry tomorrow night on TNT. We're recording this on a Monday. Steph Curry on TNT. Here we go. And then I have the NFL draft on Thursday. So NBA, do I get a choice to do both?
Oh, we're doing both.
Okay, so let's do NBA first because I was just preparing for that.
Here's the deal. I mean, you just named up that you've been at dinner with Gary Vee and you have Steph Curry coming on. Mike and Jesse will make time for you to do both topics. I think that's fair.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we're reasonable people.
You're welcome.
I'm a KD guy. Oh, Jesse, this is your, let me step back, quarterback.
Hang on, now that we have a sound effect, I have to, let's get into the big. Corey, do the thing. You did it. I already know you did it. It sounded great. All right.
Love
let's.
That one.
Let's talk NBA.
Let's talk new co-host.
Get Mike. There will be a revolt. You know that. Let's talk about NBA playoffs a little bit. But before we do, Mike, where did you want to start? Do you want to start with the LeBron selling?
Well, Adam just sent me. Yeah, Adam just sent me. So that was PWCC. I was talking to Jesse. I said that was golden. Exquisite patch auto. I don't even remember. What did it sell for?
5.2 million. And it wasn't even a 10.
So here's the deal. There's only two 9.5s and there's a number of 9s. We had the 9.5 sell to my guy, Lior, kind of
Alt.
From Alt for 1.8. And that sale now looks incredibly affordable. You have a 9 going for 5.2 in a private. What's that 9.5? There's only two 9.5s.
That's probably 10.
And if you think about it.
Got to be close.
They're in my conversations with Lior have been when I first got into the hobby, and I know that you guys have been in for a little bit longer, but there was always the notion of a true rookie. And usually it was the ones out of 99, but the out of 23 now surpassing the out of 99 is now raising the question, what is a true rookie other than just hobby folklore of things that we like to say to each other what the true is? Because when you look at scarcity and rarity, how is an out of 23 not going to be worth more than an out of 99?
Yeah, I love this, by the way. This is because of people like you coming into the hobby. Because you come in and you're like, I don't care that it's numbered to 99 and these guys wearing jerseys living in their parents' basement tell me it's a true rookie. 23 is less than 99. It makes more sense. I think a lot of these, like you called it, lore is like just kind of dying away, which is great. I'd rather have a card there's 20 of than 100. It just makes sense.
The hardest thing, though, is some of those fresh eye takes are great. Some of those, though, like I remember when people coming in, they're like, listen, Prism is going to overtake everything. And you're like, oh, that was just a bad take. So like it's a mix of the two. But you begin to realize, too, everyone's worried about pump and dump. It's all a pump. And everybody's pumping up their own. And so if you have a lot of the true, of course you're going to say the true is more value. But true is such an arbitrary word that when it comes to numbers, it's a lot easier to figure out.
Absolutely. So here's my guy that I've been pumping forever because I own a mountain of him. KD. I just keep saying, and I still think this, KD stuff just universally. When I think of the three guys from my generation now, Kobe was the first, but he's obviously gone at this point. And Pat, you know, he was out of the game anyways. It's LeBron, Curry, KD. To me, those are the three post-Kobe, post-Duncan guys that I'm like, those are the three names in the sport. Championships, MVPs, everything. I don't know how Kevin Durant still sells so much cheaper than the other two guys.
I don't know if he's that cheaper. I feel like he's had a huge run up throughout this entire...
He has recently.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I was just going to say, but you look at his numbers compared to LeBron. That tops Chrome as an example. He sells for 20% of LeBron. Curry's numbers, of course, Curry's were numbered as a rookie, but Curry's stuff too, I just kind of think even though Durant has taken that jump, I'm a big believer this year the Nets are going to get it right and they're just going to rout everybody in the East.
I think to your point, I think first and foremost, it is important to say that KD and Steph Curry should be at a fraction of LeBron. They have less championships. They have less cultural impact. I just think that LeBron is worth more than them, first and
absolutely.
Foremost. Number two, though, that I agree with you on, they should be second and third in terms of getting closer to him. I think the issue also is what I've learned is that when there is a big incoming rookie, like there was Zion, like there is LeBron, the card companies make a more special product. The Upper Deck Exquisite is a really nice product. And the issue when I first came in looking at Steph Curry is that 2009 products, they're not that great. Also, like the picture of Steph Curry being a portrait in his tops and top scroll like is a little bit, it's kind of lacking. And so I think the product for LeBron is a lot better. Also, they knew what they had in LeBron and they put him on a lot of those split cards with Jordan. You got trio cards with Kobe as well. And then also like that draft class as a whole adds so much more to LeBron because of Wade and Melo and all those guys. So I think there's a lot of factors as to why LeBron's go higher. And I think one is just because the card companies made better cards. Curry's, I know there's a logo man out there, but there's not a ton of patches, you know, whereas LeBron, I just feel like there's a more beautiful set, but Steph, I feel like I would say Steph will go ahead of KD eventually. And I think that this year and the run he's had recently kind of shows you that when KD is successful, they want to have debates. When Curry is successful, it inspires a generation. And I think there's a love factor there. I agree with you. KD is the favorite right now to win the championship. I would bet on the Nets. And then we would get into another guy in that Steph Curry draft class that I think could be wildly undervalued, which is James Harden. Because if there's a championship that goes with all of those numbers, because
it's next level.
Like, yeah, like when they were showing how most 30-point games in a row and like Steph was at 11 and James Harden was at 32.
Right. He's a savage.
Now, the question is how much will his relationship with the basketball world and fandom change with a ring? I don't know, you know, because you don't know what that parade and all that stuff's going to be like afterwards. But Harden's somebody I'm keeping an eye on, too.
Do you think anything with the fact that KD may be starting to become more in the public eye now that he's won an Oscar? Does that like mean anything? I can tell you this much. There was no price jump between yesterday and today, I don't think there would be. I think this might be one of those things where it's just his name is now relevant to more than sports fans. So,
I don't know if it's really that big. Okay. I think when Kobe won an Oscar, he went up and he accepted it and he gave a speech. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about someone's name being read. I mean, you guys are at the Ringer. Van Lathan just won an Oscar. Like, congratulations to him. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. But KD wasn't up there accepting it. And that was why it was such a big deal, is it's on the same stage as Pitt and McConaughey and Clooney. And I think that it's about the moment is the reason things go up, not just about the award. No one's looking at the back of the card and looking for the Oscar. You know, I mean, that's just my own.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So a couple other guys too. I mean, we try to talk about, you know, the relevant names, obviously. Coming out of the East, though, I mean, I like the Nets. I like KD and Harden as people to buy and just hold for that run. I am curious, though.
They're long-term holds anyway,
So Philly, are you a Philly guy?
Big time.
I read this wrong? Okay.
Yeah.
So 70, see, I've been torn. I was saying sell Embiid before he got injured because I just feel like he's the guy every year. we get a streak where it's like, how do we not recognize this guy as the best big man? Oh, because he's going to miss half the season. That's an exaggeration, but where do you see them in the playoffs this year?
As a Philadelphia fan, I am eternally pessimistic. And I would say that these last week or two has made it more so.
Yeah.
I think that if to watch the Bucks sweep them, look, there was a lot of guys missing, but I was more taken aback at how Doc sort of played Embiid on a Thursday on the second half of a back-to-back instead of saving him for Saturday. That scared me about Doc. It scared me that I have no idea what this illness is with Ben Simmons. There's no stories coming out. And the fact that when I went back and looked, when the Sixers got swept by your Celtics, Tobias Harris shot 13% from three in that series. And so, you know, the Bucks, their number two now is Drew Holiday, and you got Chris Middleton as that three. The Nets, their two and three are future Hall of Famers.
Right.
And the Sixers, they're relying a lot on Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. And while I like those players, I'm not ready to trust those players. And so I don't know if they're going to be losing to a 7 or an 8 seed in the first round. But if they don't get that one, which means that they're not going to have home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're going to have to face the Nets and the Bucks.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of confidence in that. The other thing with Embiid is talk about hobby lore. Big men are never investable properties. And I think
ever
what I used to doubt that a lot, and partially of the guy that you mentioned earlier. The fact that Shaq isn't up there with some of the, like, talk about, you know, Jesse, you talk about star. Like, Shaq is, in my opinion, a top five star in the world.
Sure.
Like, I see this. If he walked into a room with Brad Pitt, Brad Pitt's going to be like, holy crap, that's Shaq.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's Shaq. And so we talk about, you know, Dwayne Johnson cards and all that. Like, this is Shaquille O'Neal. He's had success everything he's done. And if his cards aren't at the level of those other guys, are they still valuable? Can they still go up? Sure.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be a $5.2 million sale like LeBron. It's just not going to be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad. Shaq is really a victim of timing, right? Early 90s. You talked about LeBron has some cool cards. What does Shaq have? I mean, because otherwise, other than Curry, to me, Shaq changed the game more than anybody else I saw. Changed the game. Not the best player I ever saw, but I mean, everything changed with Shaq. And now every person my size thinks they can go out there and shoot threes.
You're absolutely right, though. Secret, the timing of when he came in and the junk wax era.
Kills it.
You know what? That's an ultimate what if. You know, what would Shaq's card be like if in it 03? Didn't happen? Yeah.
Oh, forget about it. And then he takes over the world after the fact. He's got movies. He's the biggest personality on the planet. I just think that like that he's just a tragic. The other guy who sits on the desk with you sometimes, Dwayne Wade is another guy. I don't know how, again, I'm not saying he is LeBron historically, but if you look at Dwayne Wade rookie stuff, same class, same awesome product, in general, 10 to 15% of what LeBron's do. I think Dwayne Wade might be one of the best buys, period, in the basketball retired market right now.
When I first got in, I bought a bunch of Wades because I was like, this is my guy, so it's kind of cool. But two, like, that's what I thought. Like, nobody's opening up any packs of 03. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not an affordable rip. And so I know that there's going to be a lot less on the market. And then also, I'm someone that believes in silhouettes matter. And so the 2018 with Luka, I think it was 2017. No, 18.
Luka's rookie, 18. Yep.
18. That silhouette matters because we've seen it so much and it's very iconic, whether it's Prism or whatever. And I think that the fact that Dwayne Wade's cards look exactly like LeBron's cards, I think adds to the value just because I think you see those cards all the time. And Dwayne Wade's cards, there's a few that I passed on early that I'm still kicking myself that have just flown recently. Yeah.
See, if you told me right now I could have $100,000 to spend on LeBron or Wade, I'm buying all Wade. Not that LeBron's ever going down in value. He's a better player, you know, generational top, you know, 2-3 guy of all time. I just think there's room for Wade to grow.
And the quality of cards that you could get for $100,000, because what I've seen by us talking about the $5.2 million LeBron sale is the super rare, the serial numbers, the super high quality, those keep going up.
Yep.
But if you if you're going to invest in like let's see, a Wade refractor 10, you're probably in like the $6,000 to $10,000 right now. Like, I wouldn't want 10 of those. I'm trying to get, you know, some of those exquisite patches, and maybe you could get some with Wade. The super high end keeps going up. The average is the multipliers are not there anymore. I think it's because of smarter buyers. There's a lot less liquidity right now. There's not as many people getting in. I think that NFTs are really impacting where people are spending their money. But super high end, you could get a lot more Wade than you could LeBron, right?
Oh yeah, because for $100,000, you're not touching anything. You're not going to get anything special LeBron, right?
Adam, no. Do you see any of the guys, like, I mean, you have actual direct connections to some of these former players. Are they collecting any of their own stuff or collecting it all into the hobby?
I got told by somebody that Wade only wanted to get in to just rub it in my face that he had better cards than me. I think that they are investing in cards, but not the way that we are. I think that they're investing in things like alt, in like funds, because they believe in what we're saying, but I don't think they want to do the work that we're doing. And I completely understand that.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be sitting there checking eBay listings every other day. Just buy in with a buying group.
And the thing that I think a lot of us have learned, it's a lot easier to buy than it is to sell. And so I don't think they want to be sitting there on my slabs or on their IG stories trying to peddle these cards.
Sure.
So I think that they believe in it, and I think that they think it's cool. And I think as they've seen the numbers, they want to go and find the cards that maybe they have saved away or that their agent saved away from all those card signings. But I think like Alexis Ohanian, I know he was on Bill's show recently, has gotten really into it. And he told me a really funny story one time that he was trying to buy all these cards of his wife, Serena. And I said, did you ever get to show it to her? He goes, yeah, it was like when a cat brings you like a dead mouse and thinks that it's like showing you something incredible.
Solid.
He goes, that's what it was like. So
she's like, yeah, I lived it. Thanks. I know.
Lived it. And more importantly, for a lot of these athletes, they look at these cards and they went, I had to sign 5,000 of them and I don't want to see them ever again.
Yeah.
Like there, it's also like a work problem. You know what I mean?
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
That's fair. That's fair. Let me ask you one more NBA quick thing, and then we'll jump to NFL for just a minute. Obviously, Zion, Ja, for young guys, especially in that class, where do you stand? My opinion has been with Zion. I'm selling Zion now. I'll buy him in the offseason or next year. I just don't know what he does the rest of this year to jump.
You do that every year, to be
but
honest.
But Ja, I'm still buying Ja. I just think the fact that his numbers have – he sells for about half of Zion now across the board, Prism and elsewhere. It seems like Memphis is – I mean, that's a weird team. I know Vernon is, you know, crazy high on Memphis. He knows way more about them than I do.
Hey, they're flying up the standings right now.
And Triple J coming back doesn't hurt that. So where do you stand on the Zion and Ja? Buy, sell, hold?
It's tough because they've come down a lot. It was, to me, it was a sell. It was a sell during the bubble. I do not own any of either.
Okay.
And part of the reason was I was very concerned. Well, one, I don't really go ultra modern. It's just, they're just numbers that don't make sense to me when I compare them to the all time greats.
Yeah. Sure.
When I first got in, I started just buying up a ton of Lillard. Cause I was like, explain to me how Lillard is $500 and Ja Morant is $1,200. Like, this just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and then Zion is $2,500.
Yeah, you just begin to realize the power of hype in this hobby. I get concerned with both in terms of the propensity to possibly get injured. I just think that Zion, we're always talking about his knees. Yeah. And Ja, it's just the physical nature of his play. I will say that Ja's recent ability to start shooting from the outside gets me really excited.
Yeah, that's like a weird element.
Oh, man. If that develops, like, I don't know how you defend the guy.
His move the other night on CJ, I literally watched. I was watching the replay. I was like, let me just make sure my phone didn't glitch here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just left CJ literally stand there going, okay, then.
Well, like, I'm a part of two Top Shot moments, and one of them is Ja. And so I guess I am somewhat invested in Ja, but like, I would say that if you're buying for the playoffs, like Ja right now is the buy. Because I think the thing that people aren't thinking about is the play-in tournament is going to be a huge advantage if you have guys in the tournament. And so right now, if you're looking at a Russell Westbrook or a Bradley Beal and they somehow win two games in the play-in tournament, like, we know that card prices jump during playoff basketball performances. Just ask somebody that bought the Tyler Hero card last year for $35,000.
When he was lighting up my Celtics.
That was riding that wave. Oh, yeah. Man. And so I agree with you. I think now is either the time to sell Zion or hold Zion and then buy if you want to keep investing in him, because they're not making the play-in tournament.
Right.
But Ja, like, he's going to put on a show. And so I just think, though, my only question then for Ja would be, let's say they lock up the seven. How do you feel about him taking on the Suns in a seven?
Yeah, I think that's probably when you have to move it, right? At least if he gets to a whole series, we've
got
a week of basketball.
I'm just going to say, from experience, it's always better to sell a day early than a day late.
Agreed.
I had a whole plan to sell Damian Lillard in the bubble last year. I got in at 550. When he had that 60-point game, it was at $3,000. And I was like, oh, ready to move. And I they were getting ready to take on the Lakers, and Chuck's on TV going, I think they could knock him out. And I'm like, there's no fucking way. I cursed.
No, you're fine. That was Chuck. It wasn't you. We're good.
I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. But in my head, I went, I think the Blazers are going to steal game one. And people might get irrationally high, and I'm going to sell right after game one. And they won game one, but Dame Lillard banged his hand. And it was like a game one win where people weren't feeling it.
Yeah.
And it just went 2,500, 2,000. And I couldn't move it. And that was when I realized it's easier to buy than it is to sell. And sell before the series, not during or after. Because everybody thinks that they're going to get in right beforehand. And that's the time to sell. Is like, some of my best sales have been before the game. You know, it's, you can't do it afterwards. Even if they win, people aren't trying to get on in on the hype anymore. They want the card for if they win.
Hey, real quick, actually. So when you mentioned selling cards, what are some platforms you use personally?
Personally, creating my own card account, Lefko Cards, and selling on those IG stories has been the best.
Gotcha. I didn't even know you had that.
Yeah, I needed to split it up because I was like not seeing my friends anymore. I was just seeing like card shops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the advice that I give for that is to really get involved and like follow a lot of card accounts, talk to them, ask them questions, because it's those real relationships where like somebody may hit me up and go, "Hey, I see you're selling a Bradley Beal card. I know someone that loves Beal." I'm like, "Oh, great." That MySlabs has been pretty good. I've not sold anything on eBay.
Okay. And I just consign on eBay. I don't even, but MySlabs, I know David and Matt a little bit. I actually really like MySlabs. I'm hoping that continues to grow because it's easy and it's super cheap, 1%. And there's no returns. It's all slabs. It's just super
and I'm trying
easy.
To sell stuff on alt too. So we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Good deal. Hey, so let's jump into football real fast. I know we said 20 minutes. I keep here for 3.5 hours. I'm mostly doing this just to really rub in that I'm dressed so well. That's the only reason I keep.
You undid the tie, and ever since then, this is the
James
Bond.
I went Casino Royale. See, that's what that is. People confuse me with James Craig. That's not his name. What's his name?
James Daniel Craig. Nope, that's it.
Jimmy. Jim, your friend.
I was going to say Craig David, but that's a singer. Right.
No one corrects
Craig David Jimothy. That's his name. That's enough.
Hold on.
Don't edit any of that.
David Craig?
Daniel Craig.
I feel like this is the scene in The Office. Jesse is Dwight Schrute just biting his tongue, trying not to correct me while I'm talking about Star Trek or whatever. Anyways, NFL draft coming up Thursday, first round.
Yes.
Year of the quarterback. Quarterback drives the whole market. I don't want to get super in depth with like the speculation and stuff like that, but I am curious to you. Do you see any of these guys going where we see big moves with pro QBs? Meaning, is Jimmy G on the move because of this? Big Ben, are the Steelers going to reach and take somebody? Matt Ryan, any of those guys you think move because of a draft pick?
Jimmy is the guy. And because it's very curious to me, like they're definitely going quarterback. I don't think there's any way that they subject themselves to a quarterback battle with Jimmy G and who I believe is going to be Mac Jones at 3. And so then it becomes, what do the Patriots do at 15? Because that's the likely landing spot if you're going to think, but is Bill Belichick really going to go with Jimmy G? And Cam is like that his plan too? Like, it's just, I don't know where Jimmy G goes. And so Jimmy G would be the guy, but I also don't know if that's a good buy. I don't think that there's a huge collector base for Jimmy G.
We've seen him get hurt. He's fragile. I mean, I
don't
like
think
the
there's
guy.
A lot of excitement for him. Yeah, I think if there was, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, like I love Jimmy G coming into the season because I thought, man, this dude has led him to a Super Bowl. Yeah, had a bad outing, but it's like, man, San Francisco's talented. If he stays healthy, I saw what he did for 4 or 5 games in New England. I saw what he did last year. And all of a sudden it was like, this is the dude people are sleeping on. But then when you're made of glass, you start to get that reputation. Yeah. It's hard to shake it.
I think that Matt Ryan has said in the past he wants to play into his 40s. I thought he was pretty good last year. I still think he has 3 or 4 more years left. I don't think it's super, super elite. But then again, the fact that as we record this morning, 2 different national media reporters talked about how the Falcons are getting a lot of calls on Julio Jones. Are they looking to implode at all? I'm very curious, but I would expect Matt Ryan to stay. Other quarterbacks, Sam Darnold is a very interesting play right now, but then again, I wouldn't buy any before I see what the Panthers do at 8. Because if they pull a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance,
it's a dead point. Right. Yeah, see, I was high on Darnold originally because I thought, man, him and CMC, if something happens, but then all of a sudden now we're talking.
If he's the guy, I think that's a big year.
I think
that offense with Joe Brady, which we've seen with Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Burrow in college, which is just a West Coast quick decision, Sam Darnold can do that. I think, and the weapons are there.
So I've got a question for you, Adam. I want to know your take. As far as we've had a few people asking with the draft coming up, the biggest prospect that everyone's talking about is Trey Lawrence. or Trevor Lawrence.
Who's that?
Nice.
Trevor Lawrence.
Trey Lawrence.
Hanging out with James Craig.
This is why I don't talk sports.
You're killing it, man.
Being one of the hottest prospects, what do you think? Is he all that he's cracked up to be as far as all the hype he's getting? What are your thoughts?
When you have been seen as a future first pick in the draft since your freshman year, and you are at a school at Clemson where you kind of came after Deshaun Watson and people were just as excited about you, and you can go to a place in Jacksonville where Urban Meyer comes out of retirement just to coach you. I've had a chance to interview Trevor Lawrence. There's a certain kind of human that can really handle pressure. I am not very comfortable saying that the future quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars is guaranteed to be a success. There's been too many things with that franchise that scare me. But I think if anyone can handle it, it's him. I think Zach Wilson, if we want to talk about like overall energy, if you're the quarterback of the New York Jets that leads them to success.
Crazy. Yeah, that's an explosion in the hobby and in the marketplace in general.
Yeah, because like, let's be honest. Jacksonville went to an AFC championship game and people aren't talking about Jacksonville that much.
Right.
This is New York. And mm-hmm. and you will be on TV all the time. Also, you're taking on the Patriots. And I will say that Trevor Lawrence will have an easier first few years because of the division he plays in. Houston is a mess. The Colts are very, very good. And I think the Titans are going to fall off because they've lost a ton of their – they lost their OC. They lost their best tight end. They lost all their cornerbacks, their best pass rusher. Zach Wilson is going to a division where Josh Allen, the Bills, look like they're going to be here for a very long time.
Miami
never
right
betting
there
against
too.
Belichick, and Miami looks crazy. So I think it's an easier division for Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And but I would say of all the quarterbacks, if you could let me invest in one of these, it's whoever the Niners take at three.
Yeah,
that's the best team I'm taking.
I think that's the best team by far.
It's Kyle Shanahan. You have Trent Williams at left tackle. You got Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. It's Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
Like, and then that defense with Nick Bosa, like that's the guy. So whoever gets put in that position is the one that I would buy. But I think it's actually been a weird offseason for NFL card purchases because I was sitting there going, I can't wait for these Justin Herbert prices to come down.
I know.
And they never came down.
Even Joe Burrow, offseason, knee is a mess. I was like, hey, I kept telling people
they
a month
didn't
ago.
Come down.
Yeah, not at all. Yep.
And I'm someone that is trying to convince myself to buy Jalen Hurts. And I do have some Jalen Hurts. Even those aren't coming down.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so it's been a very interesting time because for all the hobby legends that have kind of told me that time to buy the NFL is a month after the Super Bowl, it just hasn't been the case.
Yeah. Here's one thing I've learned, like in the past calendar year, us experts now, this is a new world. It just doesn't. A lot of the old traditional things just don't matter. Off-season buying is just a thing of the past. I mean, me and Jesse, and it started last year with Tatis getting injured, just to go to baseball for 1 second. Tatis got hurt, missed a ton of time, and his numbers somehow went up just because the market grew. Then he gets hurt this time, and now the guy, I love, I don't even care. I think baseball is the most brutal thing in the world to try to watch. I think Tatis is unbelievable. He's like taunting pitchers. Him and Bauer have a back and forth. But I just think same thing, NFL, off-season, wait to buy it, everything goes down. And then this year, that was with Herbert. Trevor Lawrence is going to blow his pricing out of the water. Like, I just think it's not even a question. He is going to be the most highly valued prospect coming out. So
my only hypothesis in terms of like when to buy and when to sell, because that is the age-old question with all of this, is the time to sell for NFL is the 2 weeks before the season starts. Everyone's drafting their fantasy teams. Everyone is predicting who's going to go where and like in terms of like where they finish and all that. And when people get the most excited about their own predictions is when they buy. And so I think that the best time to sell NFL is the 2 weeks before the season. And the best time to buy, from what I learned last year, is right in the middle of the season, which was like kind of shocking. And unless you have the cards of a top three MVP candidate, they all went down. That's what I learned from the NFL last season.
And
I
NBA. Thought it was
same NBA thing? Too. And yep. So I'm curious, as we record this now, my other hypothesis was going to be same thing. Best time to sell NBA is right before the season and right before the playoffs. And so I'm curious, are we going to see an uptick in some prices of these guys? I was looking at LeBron, the Topps Chrome. It's starting to go up again. Yeah, if you look at the chart.
Yep, but still
it's down from where it yeah. was. Yeah, yep. yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, it's at a higher floor than what it was before.
Five times higher.
So the questions that I look at is, okay, if I look around, who are the teams that are going to get a lot of hype beforehand? Will people be going on Donovan Mitchell? Will they be going on Devin Booker?
Please answer
Kawhi.
Adam.
You know
please
what I mean? I don't know.
When is Spider going to get some hobby love?
He got some in the bubble when he had that run, when him and Jamal Murray were going up
back and forth, 40 points. Yep.
But I think it goes back to what LeBron said during the All-Star draft. We don't draft people from Utah. Yep, and I think it goes back to our Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson thing about location. Utah versus, like, I haven't looked, so I don't know. But I would imagine that Julius Randle prices are going up right now.
Way up.
And a lot of it's because they get talked about a lot. Like Utah was on a 20-game winning streak, and it was not talked about as much as this Knicks nine-game winning streak.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People are losing their minds.
And I guess that's an NBA thing, because your point you just made, Trevor Lawrence is going to Jacksonville and is going to be the number one price guy of all time in that sport coming out. But then we've got an established star at this point. That's what Mitchell is, a star. But he's in Utah. I guess maybe that's it. I mean, baseball, the market doesn't matter anymore, location-wise.
I don't think markets matter too much. Because I think, like, look, Zion's in New Orleans. Right. Giannis is in Milwaukee.
Ja is in Memphis. I mean,
But I think the in terms of, like, media, because this is, you know, what causes the prices to go up is not location, but I think the amount in which we talk about a team and a player does impact it. And so I think the thing with Donovan is, even though Utah is one, it's no one's getting excited about talking about Utah. Yeah. And so I think his prices will go up the further they keep going. And if they knock off, you know, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that's when it's going to start going. And then it becomes, because I look, we're still early on Donovan. I mean, he's 23 years old.
Yeah, he's a kid. Mm-hmm. Yep.
He hasn't even hit the prime yet. And so don't let Utah beat the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
That has to set it on fire, right?
Like, yeah, of course. I would think.
I mean, something like that.
I mean, look, like, I bet you Kyle Lowry's cards jumped up when they won. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you have to get accomplishments and you have to get those finals. But him having a monster game, and that, like, the perfect scenario for you is they face the Lakers and he drops like a 40-50 spot and LeBron goes, he's next. Like, you need almost the christening. Like, sure. I think the best thing that happened to Devin Booker was that he didn't make the All-Star game, because he was the one everybody talked about for a week afterwards.
Yep.
He's the most, and people are like, he is disrespected. I got to buy that card. People want to join in on the hype, you know?
Yeah. He's a crazy guy too. The fact that he outsells Mitchell 2-1 to me is still just such a weird, because I don't know that I trust the Suns. I just, Chris Paul in the playoffs, I've never seen it happen. So I'm just curious.
But I think, look, the guy that I mentioned that kind of got me in the beginning, Gary, he has a lot of power. And I think that he's aware of it now and he discloses a lot of the information. And I know you talked to him about it.
Yep.
But like early on, he just said, hey, here's who I got. One of the cards was Devin Booker. And when he did that, it doubled.
Yep.
And I think it's a testament to how small the hobby actually is and how much growth can still happen that like one person posting can have that much of an impact.
The fact that,
but
we
it also shows you that
shows
how
you.
Many people are sheep, you know?
Oh yeah. That, well, put it this way. Your boy Gary held up a Sam Darnold card at the beginning of last season and his stuff spiked. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, my co-host who doesn't know what football is can throw a ball better than Sam Darnold half the time. And this guy holds up a card and all of a sudden, it just,
look,
people like to follow.
I posted a car. I was interviewing Travis Kelce about his Topps card and how ridiculous it looks. And I have a pretty good relationship with Mahomes, and he saw that and he was like, how do I get one? And so I got one on eBay for like 10, 15 bucks, and I mailed it to him, and he posted it, and I was like, what are you going to do with it? He's like, I'm going to get it framed. That's like that. Talk about someone that doesn't know the hobby. I'm going to get it framed. I'm like, okay. Sure. He posted that, and that Kelce card went up like 300%.
Jeez.
And so, and that's how shallow the hobby is. And what I mean by shallow is like, it doesn't take a lot for a card to go up and spike. Yeah. The key for everyone to realize is, and if you've been in this now for a year and a half, is that the spikes come back. They do not stay up there. They do not keep going. And I think if you can't learn from February that even Jordan and LeBron come back to earth, if something is spiking and in your preparation, that was going to be a sell, you have to sell right then and there.
Yeah, you got
to
move. Yep.
But if it was a long-term hold, then don't get f-ing distracted. Damn it, I cursed again. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Don't get distracted. Because I don't even
look. If you're holding long term, I tell guys, don't look at your my safety deposit boxes with Brady's. I don't look because I don't want to see this peak and be like, you know what? I could sell that and buy it back. It's never going to happen. If it's long term, out of sight, out of mind, I don't want to know what it sells for.
Yeah. I mean, unless you really think you can buy it back. You know what I mean? But it depends on the rarity and the scarcity of what Brady's you have.
So
like I have a I have a 2002 Topps Chrome Brady. It's first Topps Chrome, which is the part of the reason I bought it. It's him in the throwing position.
Right. The black border card, right?
Green.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
But it's one of these cards where it's sort of like his first, oh, this guy was actually really good. We should probably put him in sets. And, but like after the Super Bowl, that thing spiked, but the pop is low enough where I'm like, I don't know if I can get this again later.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of look at that, but when you start looking on eBay and one card sells for a lot, and then all of a sudden there's like eight of them there, you're like, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like that thing is coming back to earth next week.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I just one quick Brady story. My 7/5/10 auto contenders champ ticket. At $7,500 a few years ago, I was like, this is incredible. I paid like $3,000 for the thing. So now that I see them closing over $1 million, I say, well, but I have the podcast. That's my, so.
Hold on a second.
They're equally as good.
Hold on. So you got it at three.
Sold it at $7,500.
When did you get it at three?
So I bought everything. I've been a Brady guy for years. I bought everything in that lull. You know, people talk about Brady as the GOAT now, greatest, whatever. 6 years after he won his first Super Bowl, or his last of the first three, it was like, this. All he does is lose Super Bowls now. Montana's better. He's never lost. People started to forget about him. I had 35 to 40 just generic 9/5/10 autos of his. I had three or four 9/10 contenders. I had a couple 8/5/10 contenders. And then I had that one. So the estimated value today, probably about $2.5 million. I probably sold him for 50 to 60,000, but cleaned up. At the time, I was like, this is triple.
I have a friend that sold some of his Brady's like you, and they were big Brady's.
Yep.
And he kept some, but he's still kicking himself for selling. But like what they were hitting at was crazy.
Yeah. And back in 2015, because right after the Seattle Super Bowl, I was like, that's it. I'm done. There's no reason for me to hold it. This was a side hustle. All of a sudden, I put $5,000 in. It's 50 grand. Like,
did you use the money for something good?
Yeah. I went full time into cards. That's it. So I did cards full time. So
that funded the rest of your PC and all that.
That funded everything. Because then I got into the breaking company, and when we came in with a couple hundred thousand, it was like, this is incredible. We could buy all the product you wanted.
Yes.
And that's what started it. So we bought 50, 60, 70 cases at a time. And then now it puts you in a position where years down the road, you still have allocation. So you're getting Prism for $3,000 and flipping it for 25, 30. I have no complaints, but there's a few things I look back at. I'm like, yep. So that's why I tell people now too. If it's a whole, like my Brady's, that's why I don't want to know. I love Card Ladder. I don't have my Brady's on there because I don't want to see their value. Mm. Because all of a sudden one's going to spike and I'm going to say, that's it, I'm selling it. And I'm going to buy a new, something else down the road.
My philosophy is with a lot of this stuff, if you spend that money on something that makes you happy in life, You cannot ever look back at it and go, what if? Because like I've said this to a lot of people. A lot of people say, you know, what's the main goal that you have in this whole thing? If I can collect and flip and meet people and enjoy the process and then eventually sell those to either buy a home for my family or to like put my kid through college or something like that, like that's the dream.
Sure.
You know, the dream is not to die and then someone goes, here lies Adam Lefkoe, owner of one of the best PCs of all time. Like, right. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the fact that my fiance is in the other room, I sold some modern basketball. And we went on a vacation together. Like, yeah. Have those cards kept going up? Sure. But you know what? Like,
who cares?
You know how dope it was to like pay for a trip because of Trae Young? Like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. My wife will tell you, this is the house that Zion bought. Because that was my guy last year. Last year when he was injured, I said, I'm buying every 9, 5, 10 silver I can buy for $800, yep. $900.
Yep.
And then we bought our first house and it was like, are they up now? Sure. But we've been living in a nice house now because of it. I'm with you. I don't have a lot of, I'm
with you on this. There's a difference between selling Zion and Tom Brady. And so what I would say, I have a friend that will tell anyone that he thinks that the hobby is nonsense and that it's all of it's a house of cards, pun intended.
Sure.
And part of the reason is this man sold Kobe way too early. This man sold a Dwayne Johnson card way too early. He sold a Luka way too early. And a lot of it is sour grapes.
Yeah.
And he can't realize that he was trying to do these little flips with cards that should have been long-term holds. And if you have a legend, if you have a Kobe, a LeBron, a Jordan, in your heart of heart, if you need the money, do the sell.
Do what you got to do.
But just know you should probably hold on to that card for at least 10, 20, 30 years. Because, come on, look at who it is.
Yep, I agree. Hey, we appreciate the time, and we have blown way through this time marker. You talk a lot. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. I know.
He does actions. It's even better than us.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know if the Damian Lillard card existed. I think that was just a plug to get the Chuck impersonation. I think you just set it up. I'll be honest. So
By the way, guys, if anyone's listening to this, you can hit me up at Lefko Cards. I have a Dame Lillard silver that I am likely going to sell right before the playoffs. So hit me up.
There you go. Lefko Cards on IG.
Yep.
Okay. And you got the Adam Lefko Show.
Lefko Show. When is this coming out, by the way?
Two hours. We're not messing around today,
pal. You can also join us for the NFL Draft Show on Bleacher Report, which is going to be Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Me, myself, Connor Rogers, Aqib Talib will be on set. And when you watch the draft and they're talking about, you know, the Patriots are up at 15 and you're super excited and they go, but we got this interview with Trevor Lawrence and you're like, I want to watch my team. We don't do any of that stuff. There's no commercials. There's no sob stories. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to hear, like, no offense. I don't want to hear about how tough times were growing up. I want to know how this player fits on this team.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're breaking down. So that's my
win. When is the plug for this show on that? I just want to make sure I have my recorder set.
Yep.
Perfect.
What? It could be like first right 15 seconds where I'm like, hey, welcome in everybody that heard me on Sports Card Nonsense. Yeah.
It'll be good. There you go. Hey, we do appreciate the time, man. Yeah, we're happy. We'll make sure we pump up the IG and everything on ours as well. So thank you for coming on,
good
man.
Appreciate talking to you.
Thanks, Adam.
Good deal.
Really like the tux, by the way. Well done.
Thank you. James Craig, baby. Living the dream. All right. So there you go. Adam Lefko. He dropped all his handles on his own, which was nice. So
He can talk, man. I appreciate it. I was
surprised. I thought he was going to just be like, hey, 20 minutes.
I think for the first time, they are going to be saying, let's replace Mike and me with Adam. I think Adam knows more about the hobby and he does impersonations. He's both of us rolled into one.
No, I disagree with everything you just said. But thanks for coming. Hey, listen, I'm happy the guy came on. That's a sucker too crazy. No. All right.
And he's handsome. Come on. He's not even wearing a tux.
Yeah, here's the deal. You don't even have a tie on. What do you think this is? Meanwhile, you're wearing slippers over there. All right, you know what? You know, do your thing. Let's move along here. This is what people came for. Lefko's fine.
Yeah.
This is why people are here.
Yep, absolutely.
Give it to them.
Straight cash, homie.
You're going to hate me. I'm going to interrupt this real quick. I have to tell you what happened. We were going to do our whole setup before.
If this is about the dogs, I'm going to
No, listen.
Line.
We were going to banter before, and then Lefko jumped on, which is great. He came in early. Fine, yeah. Whatever. It was awesome.
Yep.
I got a call right before. I love this. This is why I think sports talk radio is so stupid right now. Okay. Because everybody just talks over each other. They like read a script. No one listens to anything, right?
Yes.
I got a call. He's like, is this Mr. Gibson? I was like, nope. I was like, who are you looking for? I'm looking for Tim, my father-in-law. He owns some houses. He owns some property in Tennessee. And the lady's like, yeah, we're really... This happens to us all the time in our neighborhood too. We want to buy your house. You're not even selling it. People just come around and want to buy your house.
I get those.
So she reads off the addresses he owns. I was like, yeah, those are his. Oh, do you think he'd be interested in selling it? So I said, I could tell this lady was sweet, probably a sweet person. I don't know. But she was reading She's off terrible. A script and she goes, so any interest in selling these? I said, I'll be honest with you. My biggest goal is that if he dies, I get all the houses anyways. And then we can definitely talk. It was like, she said, okay, great. So we'll talk at that time. I just was like, you know what? Just so perfect. I love when people pay zero attention and just goes right over the head.
Yep.
You may be wondering, why are we bantering 45 minutes into the show? Because I want to. You know the other thing we didn't talk about? We're talking about it on Friday. The Hambino from The Sandlot. Oh, I tweeted you this picture. Kid looks the same 30 years later. It's uncanny. I want him on the show.
Yeah. Oh, my. Jesse, bet he would do it.
What else is he doing? He was in one movie in like 70 years. He's got time.
I think I saw him in an episode of CSI or something, but yeah.
Oh, man. Real busy. I want him on the show. Straight cash, right. Homie.
Straight Here cash, go. Homie. Go ahead and cut tuxedo, that first one, Corey.
Tuxedo edition. We talked about the Trevor Lawrence Topps release last week. They're doing that box. You get a card. 1 in 5 is an autograph.
Yeah.
You can buy the box on there. So you're basically pre-ordering it. When you buy it on eBay right now, when the people get it, they will ship it to you. For $120. They were 80 when they were released. I liked them at 80. I was late. I only bought one. I actually think it's a great buy at $120. I just think there's so much hype, like Adam was talking about. Trevor is going to be the guy. You can find those all over eBay. I would buy it and hold it until right about the start of the season. I think those things will be going for $200 plus. Not to mention people are going to be ripping them open. You know, as stuff starts drying up, sealed wax of any kind, even though this is a unique thing, I think that is a fantastic buy.
When does Contenders pop? Is that also around that time?
Contenders? You were there. 2020 Contenders. You're going to want to hold her right now, Jesse. Don't worry about that. How about a thank you for buying in heavy on ETH? You bought in at the peak and it dropped. So I said, you know what? I'm going to bail you out.
Yeah.
I threw a ton of money into it on, when was that? Sunday
Thursday.
Morning?
Thursday.
No, it was this weekend. I sold out Friday when it was high. I bought back in after we talked. I put a lot of money in this time. This is by far the most I've ever been into crypto.
Oh God, please fall.
Aren't you still in it?
I didn't make my big purchase yet. I was waiting for it to drop.
It's up over 2,500 right now. So,
all right. Is this straight cash homie or straight crypto?
You brought crony? It up. Tuxedo edition. Back to it. Here's a couple cards we kind of talked about. Dwayne Wade. I like all of his rookie stuff, period. His 03 Topps Chrome. A 9.5 with minimum subs you can get for under $800 right now. Min subs, meaning one of the subs is a 9, the other ones are 9.5s. They're averaging about $750. I don't care if you pay $850 for the card, quite frankly. A little bit of a longer term hold until the next just huge spike in basketball in general. That LeBron card does $10,000. Wade does $750. I don't know how it's that cheap. Guys forget about how good Wade was. I just think Wade is going to be a guy. We look back a year, 2 years from now, it's like, oh yeah, this guy was unbelievable.
Is that a problem that people forget that he was that good? I mean, if they're able to forget him.
No, because they forgot about all the guys in the 90s and we've seen them spike twice now. So I think he's going to fall into that class. And then I just think it's a great buy.
Okay.
There's also the 03. This is super high end. Fleer, F-L-E-E-R, Fleer. It's Wade, LeBron, Carmelo, triple rookie. It's like kind of reminiscent of the Bird Dr. J Magic. You can buy a 9.5. There's a buy it now sitting on eBay for $3,000. There's a chance I'm buying that card today. I don't know if $3,000 is a good price. I haven't actually comped that price out. I have to see what it sold for in the past, but I think that is going to go down as a super iconic card. 03 draft class, like one of the best of all time. By the time it's all said and done, maybe it is the best ever or it's right there with any of them. And I just think those three guys are all first ballot guys.
Would you long-term that one or wait till Hall of Fame?
That's one to me. It just goes right in the box. Yep.
Okay.
I think it's an awesome piece. One more. So that's not even really a straight cash home. It's just kind of tied to the Wade card. I think it's a great card if you can find it at comparable pricing. I didn't even comp it out. That just happened to pop up, and I thought $3,000 seems cheap. It's probably not. Like I said, maybe it's cheaper than that, but I think it's a great card regardless. The other one is one that's mentioned in Stewart's report. Give me that little update about Devers, please.
So back on February 26, Rafael Devers, you mentioned for, he was around 40 or 45.
So this is for the 2018, just straight tops. It's when he's swinging. There's the Gold Cup. PSA 10, they were doing 40 to 45 was our buy price.
Yes. And right now they're doing about 60 to 65.
It's 50%.
I mean, but you're right. What do you say? Are you saying, is he still a buy though?
Jim Craig doesn't mess around with numbers, pal. yeah, that's a buy it now right now. There's actually a bunch of buy it now sitting at 60 to 65 bucks. All about perspective to me. Acuna is doing 275 for his first Topps paper. Soto, 275. Tatis is doing, what, 250-ish right now? Tatis has been such fire lately, it's stupid. I mean, the guy literally does nothing but hit home runs. If he stays healthy, by the way, face of the league, just vault all of his stuff. I don't care about pop counts either. But that Devers card, the Sox are super competitive. They are way better as a team than I thought they would be. I've been saying for months he was going to have a great season. I didn't think the team would have a great year as well. I think it's 65 bucks. Honestly, 100. Otani's card is selling over 100 bucks of the same version. I just think Devers could easily, when people start to see what he's doing consistently, I think that's a card that could double in price from where it's at right now.
Okay.
There's 65 bucks. And then I actually made a crazy buy. I told you about it. Kyle Lewis is another guy. I don't have him on my list. I just bought 30 Kyle Lewis, basically his first Topps paper PSA 10s. So it's from 2020 Series 1. PSA 10s, I had sold my PSA 10s last year during his Rookie of the Year stretch for $1.60 each. They're selling right now. I got a deal. The guy hooked me up because I bought 30 of them for 40 bucks each. That's a guy who's shown he has power. The Mariners are actually a little bit competitive this year. I didn't know how they'd play. Again, I just think Kyle Lewis is a guy. If you can find those in the $50 to $60 range, he just came back. How is that not over 100 bucks in a couple months? I think Kyle Lewis is a good buy right now.
Right now on eBay, they're going for $50. There was one sold just a few hours ago for $50, but then a couple days ago, $60. So yeah,
so $50 to $60.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, $40 was an outlier. I also bought 30 of them. So there's if you buy in bulk and you get a deal, sure.
Yes.
But even just for ones and twos, I think you could realistically see a 50% return. So
not bad.
This day in history, then let's hit a couple mailbag questions, two or three, because I hate leaving those out. Yep. This day in history. So today, Elway was drafted number one overall in 83. The other guy I went with, there was a bunch. Baker Mayfield drafted number one overall in 2018. I don't know why I feel like the Browns and Baker are going to have a good year, and his stuff has dipped since they got beat in the playoffs. One of the few guys we've talked about football has not had the overall dip in the offseason. Baker's stuff is down about 25% across the board from its peak. I don't hate the Baker play. I don't know why. I'm not a Baker fan in general. I don't know. Just seems like Baker rookie stuff could be good. And Elway, that 1984 class, Elway, Marino's in there. I just think those are guys, too, we overlook. All-time greats. I think a lot of people have him in the top five. I think Elway is a guy you can still find that Topps rookie relatively cheap for all-time greats. I just thought it was cool. Those two number one guys overall drafted this day in history.
I feel like guys our age, mid-30s or something, probably have a number of Elways and Dan Marinos, because that's the card. Those were the guys that I collected when I was collecting younger.
Because that's just stuff that was relevant. We were kids. Absolutely. No, I agree.
All right. Let's give me a couple mailbags.
Let's do a couple.
All right. Yeah.
Green Monster, you may have noticed, by the way.
Dude, that's my favorite one.
We didn't get a chance to talk. How was your weekend? What's going on in the JG world?
I'm going to stop drinking Monsters, I think. You want to know what we're going to talk about with JG's world? I'm going to lose some weight. It's time. And you know what? I think to keep me accountable, I'm going to tell you how much I weigh. And that way...
Wait a minute, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually going to do it. Because
Disclosure. I didn't know you were going to say any of this.
Anymore. I know.
Okay. I hadn't heard of this privately either. Give me the height first. I say 6'5".
I'm a big boy.
How tall are you? Are you 6'4"?
I am 6'4". I weigh 438 pounds.
Yeah, it's got to come down, bro.
That's a big number. Granted, it's not like I use a jazzy scooter around the house. I'm okay to like walk and things like that. But I mean,
yeah, you don't slow us down when we hang out. It's not like you can't walk through the mall with us or something.
But obviously, it's not a healthy weight, even if I am 6'4 or any height for that matter. So yeah, as of today, getting back on it. And it's nothing crazy. Exercise and lower my caloric intake. So
okay, here we go. Then you know what? I'm going to throw my stats out there.
Well, before you do, I'm asking that you and other people, well, you know, please be kind to anyone on the internet. God, this was a mistake.
No, was it? Are you kidding me?
All I'm asking is keep me accountable. You know, ask how's it going? Because each week, it's got to be progress. So
okay.
All right. Now go ahead. Like this. Let's hit your stats.
5'7.5"
Oh, God.
205 right now.
You broke the 200 mark. Here's what we need to do. Go up and I go down and we meet in the middle.
I'd like to lose some weight though. But I'll say this. I am much bigger. This is the first time I've put this suit jacket on in a long time. You can see the rip. Like it's literally doesn't fit really well. I need to lose some weight, but I'm also been hitting the weight super hard. I got the garage set up, please. That's all I've been doing.
You come up in muscle mass and we meet in the middle right about 300 pounds. How about that? You go up.
Here's the deal. I want your weight to be something I can bench press.
Oh,
that's
my
what gosh. I want it to be.
How much can you bench right now?
350. I can put up 350. Oh, God. 345.
I haven't been that since high school. Okay.
Perfect. When you beat Taylor Swift, that was your heyday. I mean,
that's true. Here's
the deal. It is 426. That's the date. 438-205.
All right.
I want
to review. Stuart, add this to the list of things you're keeping track of.
That's true. Get on that, Stuart. We're not doing this every week. I don't want this every week. No, you and me fine. Will speak prior. But I want this every couple of weeks. We do an update.
That's fair.
I'm very excited. Man,
I'm excited. I'm nervous.
About a mailbag just bombshell.
That was the question. Everyone kept asking in the mailbag, why is Jesse so fat? Why isn't he losing weight? So
did they really?
No, nobody said that.
Oh, our mailbags are live on Instagram and just rip people apart.
All right, there you go. Let's do one mailbag at least.
I'm excited. Yeah, I just won now. We're done.
Yeah, that was big enough.
Monster's wearing off. I just realized this is an empty can. I just been sipping it. Like, there's nothing in here.
This is good.
What are you filming a sitcom here? Where was this banter at the beginning?
Stupid Lefko. Why did we even have him on? Because he's great. That's why.
Not the guys you're picking on. I don't know.
I love you, Lefko.
Seem correct.
Zachary Caruso from the Facebook.
Robinson's cousin, yeah.
Anyone I should sell now before their team drafts someone to replace them? I think this kind of goes back to the whole conversation we were having. Yeah.
NFL. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I'd say Jimmy G, but Jimmy G doesn't have a market. Like, if you have Jimmy G stuff, I think he's probably the biggest name that will be replaced. But I don't know that there's anything there for him. I don't know that Matt Ryan is moving. And those guys, I think if something did happen, I think their price goes up because there's some news about them. So no, even if they're going to get replaced, I don't think I'm doing it right now. The exception would be Sam Darnold, though. That's a guy a while ago. I was like, you know what? Could be a good buy. But I don't know that they're drafting a quarterback. That's why draft week, if the Charlotte Panthers, Carolina Panthers, whatever this. Yeah,
same thing.
This guy doesn't even know where the Panthers play. If the Panthers draft a QB, I would sell everything Darnold immediately.
Really?
But until then, I don't think there's anybody I'm panicking to sell right now. No.
Okay. All right. There's your mailbag.
Mailbag. All right. How tall are you? What are we doing?
Oh, God. This is a good show. I appreciated it.
You know, the other thing I'm going to start saying, I've been hearing this in all these podcasts I listen. I listen to a bunch of different crap. Most of it's garbage.
Yeah. It's not us, it's garbage.
Everybody claims like number one. Like you always hear the promo. It's like, oh, the number one this and this. You can literally just say you're number one in any space, and there's no definitive way to prove it. So from now on, we're the number one podcast in the sports card market.
I think it's true.
Actually, the numbers do bear that out. But even if they didn't, because there's always, and if it's not, there's like an asterisk next to it. It's like, well, with the demographic of people, you know, between 205 pounds and 438 pounds.
No asterisk. That's what makes us different. Born in the 80s.
I actually think we are the number one rated. I don't know who's rating these things, but even if we're not, I will be saying that.
We're saying it. That's
I don't want
official.
Any more questions. We're done. That's enough.
This is a good show today.
Who's coming on? Oh, big guest. We're talking football on Thursday's show.
Jack Ryan. Mr. Chris Ryan himself.
Leave the movie references to me. What is Dwight say? Yeah, leave the Tolkien references to me, dumb. You know what we're doing on Thursday? Three-hour show, two-hour office review, reviewing the whole sitcom. We're doing our own version of Rewatchables.
That should be
Eat
a
your
podcast.
Heart out, Simmons. We'll do our own Rewatchables. We don't need Richard for that.
Oh my God, I'd love that.
You see the guy on Twitter? The guy on Twitter was like, "Is your boss cool with you calling him Richard?" I was like, "I'll be honest with you. If he's not cool with it by now..." he's lacking.
He has not listened to a single episode.
He hasn't listened to anything, which is another issue entirely. He should be listening. Number one rated sports card show of all time. Actually.
Rich loves it.
So Chris Ryan from The Ringer is coming on. We're talking nothing but soccer and football for the first. I'm going to see. I think we could do like a 15 minute segment on it.
At least.
That'd be cool. 15 to 20 minutes. Because there's a lot coming up. The Super League thing got shut down, but the Euro Cup and all this, and there's a ton of soccer releases coming up. He is not a card guy, but he's going to talk. We're going to have Indy pull some numbers on like the top 10 or 20 guys just in soccer.
Yeah.
So, hey, here's a dude who sells really high. Is he going to continue? What's coming up for him? Or is this a guy you think is just going to trend downward in the game? They should be selling him. So we'll try to put a card spin on it.
Yeah. With the boom
We're also doing this. I wish we could do Thursday's show that night. It's too bad we cannot. Because Thursday is the NFL draft first round. So maybe we'll have some NFL news by then. We'll see.
Well, Monday's show will definitely be
emergency show. When do we get power to do just the emergency show?
I think we have
Friday morning.
Corey, do we have that power right now?
Do we have that power, Corey? Like Monday?
Corey? Nope.
Corey? Yep.
What do you say?
That was a nope.
you know what, Corey? Come on.
You know what, Corey? Cut that audio. All right, we're done here. Corey, thank you for putting up with us the last hour and 10 minutes. That's your show. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast. That's the official voice now.
Yep.
Wipe that smirk off your face. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify, the only place to listen to podcasts. You can also listen anywhere else you get your podcast, conversely. But listen,
don't worry about that part, though.
Don't worry about that stuff. SportsCardsNonsense.com for card services, frequently asked questions, cute merch, and all that other crap. You can find us on all its social platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Facebook group just hit 6,000 people. Cool. That is the most active group on Facebook, period, by the way.
I mean, the fact that it's so new. I feel like you say 6,000 and people are like, only six? But we just started this
thing. We don't add people. It's actually the best place to go because it's an open forum. So there you go. You can check us out, follow us, sing, dance, whatever else you want to do. I am done talking. I'm going to watch The Sandlot three times this afternoon. And then I'm going to go watch the first three seasons of The Office.
Go ahead and post this 2 hours from now. Make sure there's video somewhere because people are going to need the suit. They need to see the tux. Facts.
That's it. Goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.